that is right there. And December the 7th, 8th, and 9th. All right, be sure you put those dates down. This is what we call a POW. And I decided to put on the platform, and I was like, what is that? Uh-oh, I know what that is. And this is called Pass Around Love. You got to be a part of our retreat to know what this is. But some of our people are still involved. I'm glad my wife's involved in that. And some of our people are involved in that. If you're a young married or older married couple, or if you're married, you ought to go to our marriage retreat. Be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina this year. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. Start making plans now to be a part. Genesis chapter 15 in your Bibles this morning. And I think on the screen I've got six verses, but I'm going to actually read quite a bit more than that. And I want you to sort of follow the story with me, if you will, today. Genesis chapter 15. And Genesis chapter 15, when you find your place, if you'll stand with us today out of respect for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand, that is. Genesis chapter 15. And look, if you will, with me at verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6 says, and he, talking about Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now I want you to skip down, if you will, and verse number 6, or chapter 16, and of course the scripture we just read, God promised Abraham that he was going to give Abraham and Sarah a child. Now look, if you will, at Genesis 16, verse 1. The Bible says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. I thought the Lord said in chapter 15 that he was going to give Abraham and Sarah a child. But in chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Would you look at chapter 17, verse number 15? The Bible says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Would you fast forward to chapter 18? And would you look at verse number 9? The Bible says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. In verse number 11, I want you to read the very first word of verse number 11 with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now. Watch closely now. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she's past, well past childbearing years. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now look at this. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now I want you to fast forward several chapters, all the way to chapter 21, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. And I've got the next four words underlined. And I want you to read those next four words with Preacher Day. Ready? At the set time. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. You may be seated this morning. I believe we're going to talk about something that's very important today. I want to talk to you a little bit about that subject, why God waits. Why God waits. And so let's pray and we'll jump right into the study this morning, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you today. Father, it's been a great morning. Thank you for the good spirit. Thank you for the good time of ministry that we've enjoyed, and Lord, the wonderful Sunday school hour, and then all the ministries were active this morning. The bus routes were running. The nursing home ministry was active this morning at 9 o'clock. The radio broadcasts were being aired on the radio stations. Father, we just thank you so much for the Sunday school time. And now, Lord, as we've come to this time, I pray that you'll bless as we close this service with a few moments of preaching. And Father, I pray that if there may be any here today that don't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, I pray today will be the day that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, help today to be that day. I pray not tomorrow, the next day, but I pray today will be that day. Lord, if there's one who doesn't know for sure that heaven is their home, God, I pray that before this day is done, Lord, they'll come to that place where they've accepted Jesus as Savior. And so, Father, I pray that you will instruct us, and I pray that you'll teach us, and I pray that you'll help us, and I pray that Christ will receive glory and praise from all that's done. I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for power, and I pray you'll direct my thoughts, my words, and the intents of my heart. And God, I pray that you'll minister in a very special, supernatural way to your people today. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. And amen. We read here in Genesis chapter 15 that God made a promise to Abraham. He promised Abraham that he was going to give him a child. Abraham had a servant living in his house, a loyal servant. His name was Eliezer. And Abraham thought that Eliezer was going to be his heir. He had no child. He and Sarah had no child. And so he just figured that Eliezer, his servant, a very loyal servant, would become his heir. And God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, Eliezer, although a good man, Eliezer is not going to be your heir. But he said, your heir is going to come out of your own body. He said, I'm going to give you a child. In fact, he said, not only am I going to give you and Sarah a child, but he said, I'm going to multiply your seed like the stars of heaven. That's what he was saying. He brought Abraham out and he said, Abraham, I want you to look up the stars. And he said, there's no way that you can number them all. There are so many. He said, that's what your family is going to be like. He said, I'm going to bring so many people out of your lineage. And of course, we know that the Christ child eventually came out of that lineage. But he promises Abraham, makes Abraham a promise. Abraham, I am going to give you and Sarah a baby. Now, it's interesting if you follow the story. A year has passed and that promise has not been fulfilled. 2 years have passed and that promise has still not been fulfilled. 5 years have passed. 5 years since Genesis chapter 15 when God brought Abraham out and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you and Sarah a son. 5 years have now passed and still they have no child. In fact, Fast forward 10 years. It's been 10 years. Now think about this. 10 years ago, God promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham's getting older. I mean, time is not waiting on this promise, and God made a promise, but now 10 years have passed, and now 12 years have passed. And finally, 14 years later, after God had promised he would give Abraham a son, 14 years later, God brings his promise to pass in a little boy by the name of Isaac. Now I have a question for you this morning, church. Why did God wait so long to carry through with this promise? The truth is this morning, most of us don't like to wait, do we? If there's one thing that we don't like to do, we don't like to wait. Have you ever, for instance, been in a hurry? And it seems like when you're in a really big hurry, that's when the stoplights are always the longest. That's when you always, you know, you're hoping you can make it through this stretch of lights, you know, and y'all know how it is in town a lot of times. If you hit one, you hit them all. And you go to this light, and man, you're revving the motor, and you know the car's going forward and rolling back and going forward and rolling back, and like that's going to really help the light to carry it, you know, to go a little faster. And it just seems like that light, you're thinking, man, what's going on? I mean, this light is never going to change, and it just seems like you have to wait and wait and wait and wait. The truth is, most of us don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. You know what? I ran by the grocery store the other day to pick up a few things, and I don't know why it is, but the line that I always looks the shortest when I get in it always ends up being the longest. And so I looked for a line. It was pretty crowded, pretty busy. And so I looked for a line. It looked like there was just about maybe one or two. And I noticed the lady second in line, she only had, you know, two or three items. And I thought, yes, this is going to be good. And I was in a hurry, you know, as always. And I got in this line. And the lady in front of her had all kind of groceries. And then I learned that this lady was doing multiple orders. And so she was, you know, the cashier would ring up a few, and then she would have to cash those out, and then she would ring up a few more, and she would cash those out. And the little lady in front of me, she looked back at me like, is this really happening? And so then I'm thinking, the next line, I was getting ready to dart to the next line, and a lady got in that line. I'm like, man. I'd like you to think that I'm always spiritual, but I don't know that I was very spiritual that day. I said that to say, you know what, most of us don't like to wait. You know what, any of you computer people out there, man, if you've ever seen the old faithful spinning wheel, you know what I'm talking about, and you're in a hurry, you're trying to get something done at your business, and you know what, you hit a few keys, and all of a sudden the spinning wheel comes up, and that computer is thinking, computer is rebooting, or whatever the case might be, and it just seems like you got to wait, and you say, well, preacher, I don't adapt to any of those things that you just said. Okay, how about this one then? Most of us don't like to wait. Have you ever got behind that little old person in the car in front of you, and you could not get around them, and they were driving about 22 in a 35 mile power zone, and you were like, come on, I got to go somewhere, I got to be somewhere, and you know what, you knew that they could see you, you know what, in their rearview mirror, and you may have even, when you thought they were looking, you may have even shook your head a little bit, like, you know what, please hurry, I've got somewhere to go, but you know what, that didn't faze them a bit, and they just took their time, and you know what, you couldn't get around them, and every time you tried to get around them, they'd speed up, and I mean, you know what, the truth of the matter is that most of us don't like to wait. Now, I'm trying to get on your level this morning, because I want you to understand this message, that most of us don't like to wait. Now, if you want to see some folks get irritated, let me tell you what to do. Go down to the airport sometime when there is a delayed flight and watch people that are having to wait for a delayed flight. You want to see some people lose their Christianity real quick, brother, and I'm glad you can. But I'm just saying, man, you want to talk about some folks getting upset and some folks doing some things and acting in some ways they should not. Now, I said that to say this. Most of us don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. We don't want to wait in line. We don't want to wait at the light. We don't want to wait at the doctor's office. We want to be seen right away. Why? Because we live in an instant world. That's where we are. Everything today's instant. Everything. I mean, we have instant coffee. We have instant mashed potatoes. We have instant macaroni. We have instant oatmeal. We have instant biscuits. You know, those are called Watt biscuits. Y'all know, y'all ate Watt biscuits before? Watt biscuits. You say, what is a Watt biscuit? That's where you take a can and you whop it on the side of the counter, and these biscuits pop out. And by the way, I'll eat them, brother. I will. Amen. I'm not that choosy. But I'm just saying, brother, we live in that generation, that society where everything is instantaneous and we don't like to wait. Now, I got a question for the Lord. Lord, would it not have been better if you would have carried out this miracle a whole lot quicker? I mean, Lord, in Genesis chapter 15, you come to Abraham and you said, Abraham, I've got some news for you. I'm going to bless you and Sarah with a baby. Sarah's not getting any younger. Abraham's not getting any younger. They're getting old. In fact, they're way up in age. And God comes and said, God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you an heir. But God waits and waits and waits and waits and waits some 14 years later before God brings that promise to pass. And my question is, hey, Lord, would it not made more sense when you promised it to go ahead and carry through with what you promised to do? Is that human reasoning this morning? That's why Isaiah says his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. But this is the way I think. Lord, had you done it sooner, maybe Abraham and Sarah wouldn't have become discouraged. That's human reasoning. Lord, had you done it sooner, maybe Abraham and Sarah would have avoided doubt, because they did doubt. Sarah came to Abraham and said, well, evidently it's not going to happen. And so I guess we're going to have to help out God. And so, Abraham, I've got this little handmaid, Hagar, a little Egyptian handmaid. Egyptian, by the way, always a picture of the world. And so we're going to do it in a worldly, we're going to do God's business in a worldly way. And you're never supposed to accomplish God's will in a worldly way. And so she said, I tell you what, evidently, you know what, I'm never going to have a child. And so I'm going to let you go into my little handmaid, my Egyptian handmaid, little pagan handmaid, and I'm going to let you have a child by her. And I'm thinking, Lord, if you would have answered this prayer a lot sooner, and if you would have honored this promise a lot sooner, maybe, just maybe, Abraham wouldn't have made his mistake with Hagar, by the way, which is the absolute reason why we're having problems all over the world today in the Middle East and in Syria and in Iraq and in Iran, and all the terrorism and all the problems that we are having to this very day that you see on Fox News and USA Today all go back to this incident right here, where Abraham and Sarah tried to help out God and brought Ishmael into the world. And the Bible said about Ishmael that Ishmael would be a wild man and that his hand would be against every man. Somebody says, preacher, these terrorists, they don't even make sense. I mean, they don't even make sense. It's exactly what the Bible said it was going to be like. That Ishmael be a wild man, uncontrollable. That's where all this terrorism comes from. And I'm thinking, God, had you done what you said you were going to do earlier, Sarah would have been closer to childbearing years, and maybe she would have had an easier delivery. Listen to me well today, church. Here's the clincher. Had God allowed this miracle to happen earlier, there would have been a possibility that all the credit for Isaac's birth could have been attributed to Abraham. Now, Abraham was old, but men have been known to father children in their old age. Now, follow my thinking here. Follow the Bible here. But God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a promise. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you and Sarah a baby. I'm going to give you an heir. But God waits a year, and God waits 2 years, and God waits a third year, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and a seventh, and a eighth, and on and on and on for 14 years. God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you with favor. I'm going to give you a blessing. I'm going to give you a child, but I'm going to wait until it is absolutely no way that it's conceivable for you to father a child. I'm going to wait until there's no possible way that Sarah could deliver a child and give suck to a child. I'm going to wait until y'all are way, way past child childbearing years, and then I'm going to bring this promise to pass. So when I do it, everybody will know that this was not Abraham and this was not Sarah. This was a God thing. Amen. I mean, this was not natural. It was supernatural. This was not normal. It was abnormal. This was not human. This was divine. And so I said that to say this. Sometimes God waits. Why? Because God wants people to know that what he does, it came from him. It came from him. You see, the truth of the matter is, there may be times when God is slow at answering your prayers. You've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about something, a burden, a family issue, a marriage, for healing. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you say, preacher, I've been praying for a long time about this situation. I mean, I've been praying and I've fasted. And I've mentioned this name to the Lord, and I pray about it in the morning, and I pray about it in the evening. And Pastor, I've prayed, and I don't think God is hearing my prayer. No, listen to me now. There may be times when God may be slow in answering your prayers. There may be times when God is slow in healing your sickness. You say, preacher, I've got a health problem. I've got diabetes, and I've been praying that God would help my diabetes to get better. I've been praying that God would help my heart issues to get better. I've been praying that God would help my hearing to get better. I've been praying that God would heal my mom of her dementia or her Alzheimer's. I've been praying, but God is sometimes slow in healing our sickness. Sometimes God is slow in solving your problems. Sometimes God is slow in giving you that job that you're hoping for, praying for. You know what? You prayed about it. I mean, you prayed about it. And right before you moved in, somebody else moved in front of you. I mean, you prayed about it, but somebody else moved into that position. And you're thinking, Lord, I don't understand. I've prayed. I've asked you to work. At times, God is slow in bringing about a miracle in your life. Now, here's the thing. Why is that? Well, let me tell you why it's not. God doesn't wait because he can't answer right away. The Bible says in Malachi 3:1, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare thy way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And how many know this morning that God is capable of answering your prayer before you pray it? You say, preacher, that only makes sense. Makes sense to God. Because God doesn't live in our realm. You know what? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. I preached this last Sunday morning. Before I get to tomorrow, he's already there. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's already there. I don't have to worry about the problems. He's already there. And so understand something, that God doesn't wait because he can't answer right away. He can if he wants to, if he sees fit. He can answer even before you ask. I think about that little story. Acts chapter 12. The Bible says that King Herod had killed James, and it made him popular with the people. So the Bible says he went out and apprehended Peter. And he took Peter and he put Peter in jail, in prison, with the motive of killing him. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, there was a church by the name of Antioch. And the Bible says that church got together, had a little prayer meeting, and they began to pray. And I don't know all the words they used, it doesn't matter. But they begin to pray, God protect Peter, God protect Peter, God bless Peter, God set Peter free. And boy, they begin to pray. Did you know that while they were praying, God answered their prayer? In fact, the Bible says an angel came to Peter. He was between four quaternions of soldiers. The Bible says the chains fell away, the gates opened up. And the Bible says that Peter went to the little house where they were having prayer meeting. And the Bible says, Peter knocked on the door. The adults are in there praying, asking God to set Peter free, asking God to protect Peter. And so they sent a little girl by the name of Rhoda. And the Bible says that little Rhoda ran to the door and she said, who is it? And he said, it's Preacher Peter. And the Bible says Rhoda was so excited she didn't even open the door. She ran back to the prayer meeting. She said, Peter, he's here, he's here. And the people said, you know what they said? You're crazy. Don't you understand? We're praying right now that God will set Peter free. And you know what? And finally, by the way, they figured out that Rhoda was telling the truth, that God, listen to me now, that God had answered their prayer while they were praying it. And so I want you to understand that God is able to heal you. And God is able to solve your problems. And God is able to help your marriage. And God is able to help your kids. And God is able to give you that job. God doesn't wait because he can't answer right away. How about this? God doesn't wait because he doesn't love you. And so you've been praying. And you know what? For some reason, the Lord hasn't answered. And the devil comes and the devil says, you know what? If Jesus really loved you, he wouldn't be letting it happen. If Jesus really loved you, he'd give you that job. If Jesus really loved you, he'd heal you of that sickness. If Jesus really loved you, he'd help your mom. He'd help your grandmother. And the devil will come and the devil will say, you know what? If God really loved you, God would do that. But I want to say, my dear friend, you tell the devil to go back to hell because that's not the truth. The Bible says in Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet, will I not forget thee? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I don't know if I'm saying it good. I'm just saying this. God doesn't wait because God doesn't love you. God loved you so much he sent his son for you. And so, how about this? God doesn't wait because you're not saved. Somebody says, well, preacher, I prayed, and the Lord hasn't answered. Maybe I'm not saved. No, the Bible says in 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I'm just saying this. There are times when God does wait. There are times when God does hesitate. There are times when God does push the pause, but why? Because if God answers on our time and God does things according to our time schedule, the truth of the matter is, when the answer finally comes, they may never see him in the answer. It's exactly, brother, that's exactly what's going on. Illustration, John 11. There were two sisters. One's name was Martha. One's name was Mary. They had a brother. His name was Lazarus. And I don't know what happened, but Lazarus got very, very sick. I'm sure they tried to care for Lazarus. Martha was quite the house homekeeper. And I'm sure that Mary and Martha ministered to him and they did their best to try to get their brother back to health again. But Lazarus got sicker and sicker and sicker. And when the situation began to get so dire that they realized that Lazarus was going to die. If they didn't do something, he was going to die. You know what they did? They sent word to Jesus. He wasn't very far away, about a mile and a half. And they sent word to Jesus and they said, Lord, thou whom thou lovest is sick. And we need you to come. And so I wrote this down. They're Christian people, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They believed in the Lord. They love Jesus. Jesus loves them. He's not very far away. When it took him very long to get there. But the Bible says that when Jesus gets word, you know what his response is? He waits. Let me read it for you. John 11, 4. The Bible says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha. Not a question, God loves you this morning. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6 says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I got a question. Hey, church, Jesus, can you speak the word and heal somebody? Oh, yes. We see that in the Gospels. We know Jesus can do that. We know that Jesus could just speak the word. Hey, Lord, why didn't you just go right away if you really loved him? Why didn't you go immediately? But here's the thing I want you to understand. Had Jesus handled the problem immediately, there is a very good chance that those around would have never known that Lazarus' resurrection was a miracle of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes God waits. You understand, in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel have been in captivity for a long time, for many years. The Bible says they're working, they're slaves. And they're working in the brickyards and the slime. Bible calls the slime pits. Man, can you see those Hebrews? As they have to trudge through that mortar and that mud and that slime. Can you imagine how dirty those Hebrew men were when they came home at night? If they came home at night. The Bible says they were under taskmasters. I mean, they were severely oppressed. They were made to work days and days and days without a break and build all these wonderful things for Pharaoh. A terrible, terrible time of oppression. And no doubt many thousands of Hebrews died. And hey, guess what? God raises up a deliverer. His name, Moses. Moses. Brother Howes used to say that probably Moses was the greatest leader that's ever lived. Moses. God raises up a great leader, and he's going to send Moses to Egypt to set his people free. Y'all know that story? Y'all know that story? Moses is going to go to Egypt and set his people free. But guess what God does next? God takes that deliverer and puts him on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And so when God raises up a deliverer, you know what he does? He delays his plan for 40 long years and waits. Why, preacher? Tell you why. Had God acted at that very time, no doubt millions would have missed seeing God do the impossible. Now we're done, but here's the problem. Here's the problem with waiting. When we have to wait, often we become impatient. Is that right? At the stoplight. I got your attention now, don't I? I mean, we're at the doctor's office. When is he ever going to get done? We're behind that little old lady from Pasadena, and we're like, when are you ever going to speed up? Now, you know what? When we have to wait, often we become impatient. When we have to wait, oftentimes we begin to complain. And then sometimes when we have to wait, you know what we do? We take matters into our own hands and settle for second best. And so, God, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about my marriage, but you know what? If you ain't going to do something, I'm bailing out. Come on now. And if you ain't going to do something, I'm going to find somebody else. God, if you don't do something right away, we become impatient. Lord, if you don't heal my child now, I'm out of church. And so it's, let's make a deal with God, you know. God, you're going to do it on my time frame. You're going to do it when I want you to do it. And if you don't do it right now, I'm quitting Calvary. If you don't do it right now, I'm not reading my Bible anymore. If you don't give me that job right now, I'm going to take the next thing that comes up. And God says, okay. Okay. Go ahead and take that. But I'm just going to let you know, you should have waited. Because I had something far, far better for you. Or how about this? Oftentimes, if we have to wait, we begin to become bitter. We meet them all the time. Out knocking on doors. Hi, we're from Calvary. We'd love to have you. Slam. Or I'm not interested. Several years ago, my loved one got sick, or several years ago, I had this experience, and I asked God to do something. God didn't do it. And what you mean by that is that God didn't do it right when you thought God ought to do it. And because God didn't act on your time, because God didn't punch in on your time clock, and God didn't jump through the hoops that you wanted him to jump through right when you wanted to jump through them, you know what? We become bitter, and we become impatient, and we say, God, if you really loved me, you'd do this. And God says, if you only knew how much I love you, but I can't answer this right now. Because if I answer it right now, people may miss seeing the powerful God that I am. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I love this. M.H. Launt said this, God's best gifts come slowly. We could not use them if they did not. Many a man called of God to work, to a work which he was pouring his life, is convinced that the Lord means to bring his efforts to a successful conclusion. Nevertheless, even such a confident worker grows discouraged at times and worries because results do not come as rapidly as he would desire. Listen to this. But growth and strength in waiting are results often greater than the Lord, than the end so impatiently longed for. In other words, when God makes you wait, you ever heard somebody say, wait for it? Wait for it. You know, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much, he gave his life, he gave his son for you. And there are times when we pray and ask God to come through, and God says, wait for it. But Lord, are you ever going to do it? Wait for it. Wait for it. And what we don't understand is, during that time of waiting, God is going to answer our prayers, but God is also doing a work of grace in our heart and our life. Boy, I hope you're getting this morning. Zach and Amber are in Los Angeles. Lord's blessing. They've had some people saved. Back years ago, y'all know this, when Zach came before the church and said he felt like God was calling he and Amber to Los Angeles to plant a church, and we began to talk about that, and he began to talk about raising support. Zach had been serving here on the staff for about 7 years, our youth pastor. Lord was really blessing. He got to know a lot of preachers in the area. A lot of pastors knew me. And so when Zach started deputation, he had a zeal, but maybe not according to knowledge. And so when Zach started deputation, he really felt like he was going to jet through. I mean, Daddy, I know so many preachers, and you know so many preachers, and I mean, they're just all going to take me on, and I mean, you know what, we're just gonna fly through deputation. We're going to be in California in just a few months. And what Zach realized was that deputation was tougher than he thought. And at the very least, it still took him 2 years, which, by the way, is absolutely miraculous. But it still took them 2 years to raise their support. And he would call me on Sunday night, and I'd say, how'd it go? He'd say, well, you know, Dad, they didn't take us on. Or, you know, sometimes he'd call rejoicing, Dad, they took us home. And for 2 years, it was like that, church after church after church after church. But did you know that that time of waiting for Zach and Amber was, I believe, absolutely invaluable to their ministry today? Now, Zach's enrolled in Bible college right now and studying in Bible college. But I would say this. Those 2 years of deputation, going and sacrificing and church after church and service after service, did you know he learned things during that 2 years that you could never learn in Bible college? Now, all I'm saying is this, Calvary, be patient. Be patient. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're praying for. I don't know the burden in your life. I don't know the valley that you're going through right now. And you've been praying, God, bring me out. God, bring me out. God, help this storm to go away. I don't like it. Lord, take it away. And God says, hey, child, I'm going to take it away. I'm not going to let you know about it yet. I'm going to take it away. But until I take it away, until I give you that child, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to stay in love with Jesus. That's what the Lord is saying. Man, just keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. I know sometimes it seems like we are never going to get a building. And it's a sacrifice. I know it is. We had that conversation in the field yesterday. And somebody says, preacher, when is it going to happen? And I see us on a good day, and I'll see our families, sometimes multiple families. I'll see them get up and give their seats away to visitors, absolute visitors. By the way, thank God I pastor a church like that. And last time I looked, there wasn't any names on these seats anywhere. But I thank God that I pastor a group of people who are willing to get up and just give their seat away to a visitor. Man, thank God that we have a spirit like that at Calvary Baptist Church. And you come here sometimes and it's hard to find a place. And man, sometimes we have to set some chairs out. Folks are sitting in metal chairs today, and somebody says, "Well, preacher, if I sing in a choir, I can't fit. And if I do sing in the choir, when we get done with the choir, there's probably not going to be where to sit." Sometimes it's uncomfortable. And we visited some folks, and they said, "Preacher, we love the church. We love the church, but it's so crowded, and there's nowhere to sit." And I just want to say this. I know sometimes it's a sacrifice. It's crowded. It's uncomfortable. It's hard to find a seat. But listen to me, and listen to me well. I believe that soon, and very soon, that God Almighty is going to erect a beautiful, beautiful campus to the glory of Jesus Christ here in Union Grove, North Carolina. Now, please understand something. And I'm done. Listen to this. Had we got that building when we wanted it, then right now you would be a part of a church that is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. But for some reason, God has waited and waited and waited. And I believe this with all my heart, that God is about to give us a beautiful campus, Christ's campus at Calvary Baptist Church. I believe God's going to give us a beautiful campus. I believe He's going to do it debt-free. No mortgage payments. No bankers. Nothing like that. You say, "Why, preacher?" Tell you why. Because when people drive down this road and they see that beautiful campus, they'll say, "Wait a minute, whoa. How can an old-fashioned King James Bible preaching, I'm talking about wind-sucking preaching, buddy. I mean, how could a church like that, old-fashioned church, a church way out in the country, in the middle of nowhere, how in the world could a church do something like that?" And our answer will be, we couldn't, but He could. And God says, "You know what? Sometimes I don't answer your prayer right away. And sometimes I don't take your burden away right away. And sometimes I don't give you your miracle right away. Because God says, I got bigger plans than that. I'm going to give you that miracle. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to answer that prayer maybe. But when I do it, I'm going to make sure that you don't get the glory and pastor don't get the glory. I'm going to make sure that I'm the one that gets the glory for that. The Lord Jesus." So until God answers, be patient. Until God answers, stay in love with Jesus. Until God answers, remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, Father, we love you. And God, I don't know who all I'm preaching to today, but I believe you want me to preach this message. Lord, there's somebody here this morning. There's a husband and wife that's been praying for a breakthrough. Lord, there's a daddy here that's been praying for a job. There's a mother here today, Father, that's been praying for a wayward child that's away from God, out of the will of God. Lord, there's a family here that's been praying about a loved one that's sick. And they've prayed and they've prayed and they've prayed. But God, for some reason, you haven't answered yet. For some reason, you haven't healed yet. For some reason, Lord, you haven't given them that job yet. For some reason, Lord, you haven't healed that loved one yet. And Father, would you help us to realize my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all that I need is to follow. Lord, I pray today that you'd give us some people who say, "Lord, until you answer, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to remain steadfast. I'm going to stay sweet. I'm going to keep a sweet spirit. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love others." I pray that you're working hearts today. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Many folks are in the altar this morning. And we're going to give you an opportunity today to come if you need to come today. I'll tell you what, let's do. While our heads bowed and our eyes closed, why don't we stand this morning all over the house? If you need to slip to the altar, now's a good time. You don't have to wait for the music. Now's a good time. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a question real quickly. I wonder how many are here this morning. You'd say, preacher, if I died today, I know beyond a shadow of any doubt, I know that I'm saved and going to heaven when I die with nobody looking, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody or try to drag somebody down an aisle, but I sure would love to pray for you. I'll not pray for you by name, but God will know who you are. And you'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? You'd slip your hand up. Is there one anywhere? Preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Would you please remember me in your prayers? I know I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, Pastor. I'm just not sure about heaven. And I want you to pray for me. How many's like that here today? You'd slip up your hand, let me pray for you. Would you let me pray for you? Preacher, remember me. Would you remember me? Is there one anywhere today? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many here are here this morning and you'd say, preacher, I just want you to pray for us. We're going through something right now and God knows what it's all about. We've prayed and prayed and prayed, and for some reason the Lord hasn't answered yet. And sometimes it's so easy to get impatient. But Pastor, you pray for us that we'll be patient, that we'll wait on the Lord, keep a sweet spirit, wait on the Lord, and trust God to bring it to pass. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up, say, Pastor, remember us today. Yeah, boy, that's what I thought. A lot of hands all over the house today. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Thank you. You can lower your hands. Thank you very much. Anybody else before we pray? Pastor, pray for us. We're struggling right now. We've prayed about something, but God's not brought it to pass yet. But you pray for us that we'll keep a sweet spirit. Stay faithful to the Lord. Anybody else? I want to include you in this prayer. So, Father, you've saw the hands today. You knew the hearts before they ever raised their hands. God, somebody here today is going through a trial. Somebody here today is going through a valley. And God, they've prayed and prayed. And Lord, they've sought your face. And Lord, for some reason, Lord, you've waited. And God, the devil has come maybe, and the devil's tried to get us bitter, and he's tried to get us to quit. And Father, today I pray that you'd give us a church full of Christians who'd say, Lord, I don't understand why you're waiting, but God, if you'll help me, I'm going to trust you. And so, Father, have thy way in the remainder of this invitation. Thank you for a filled altar. But maybe there's others that ought to come. And so have thy way, please, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Brandon's over here to pass.